Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, I'm Jackie Cation. You are about to listen to the Dork Forest. Let's give you the info about it. First of all, you know the websites. DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com, if you like a determiner, JackieCation.com has everything. All of my podcasts, including videos of my stand-up schedule, merchandise you can purchase if you would like, and a lot more info than you possibly even need. Let's do the credits. Mike Rickberg sang and produced and composed that song at the beginning of the show. He sang with his wife, Sarah. It's very beautiful. At the end of the program, he sings his version of the Mexican Hat Dance. That's Mike Rickberg. Vilmos fixes JackieCation.com. He is the web designer over there. And Patrick Brady fixes the audio. And in this case, there's a video intro. Very exciting. Anyway, those are the websites. If you want to support the show, you're doing it already by listening to it or watching it. And another way is to tell your friends and family, go on iTunes, do a review. Another way is to just give me money. Yeah. You could go use the donate button. You can make it even monthly if you're okay with making things monthly. You do a PayPal monthly. There's a monthly choice on PayPal. The PayPal is a button on the Jackie Cation or the Dork Forest website, and it goes directly to me. Thank you very much. I will use it wisely or foolishly. Your call as well. Now, my email address, jackie@jackiecation.com, is where you can contact me if you have any questions or concerns and about the Dork Forest. And I do have a Venmo account. It's jackie-cation, oddly enough. Another way to support the show is on dorkforest.com and jackiecation.com. There's an Amazon link. And the Amazon link just takes you to Amazon. You order like normal, and it supports the show because you came from Jackie Cation or dorkforest.com. Very exciting. Other than that, there is a Bandcamp. You can, if you have listened to all the episodes that are free and you need more content, there are several live episodes that are at thedorkforest.bandcamp.com. And those cost me a couple of bucks, so I charge a couple of bucks. There's also a storytelling album there that you can listen to some stories that I did live. And there are 17 free episodes before the Dork Forest was pre-recorded. So the audio isn't very good, but the guests were super funny and fun and dorky. So if you want to do that, go to thedorkforest.bandcamp.com. Other than that, let's see if there are other things that I should be talking about. Possibly the merch. Yeah, if you want to buy merch. The only other thing I want to talk about is the merch. You can get Dork Forest t-shirts, and you can get stand-up comedy t-shirts. You can get my albums or my DVD over at jackiecation.com/merch. There's pins, there's a challenge coin, there's a bunch of new things happening over there. Anyway, a lot of information. I don't think I've missed anything, but who cares? Let's get into the show.
Hey, it's Jackie Cation. I'm in my living room, but we're doing Quarantine Dork Forest. So I'm with my old pal, Jim Wooster. How you doing, Jim Wooster?
I'm doing all right. I'm also semi-quarantined, like we all
sure.
are.
Sure. But you're essential, right? Are you essential?
I'm not in the traditional sense of the word, but my company does... The company I work for does, among other things, sanitizing and disinfecting of homes and offices. So
yes, I feel like that is a relatively, so what we're going to, so people.
I don't do it. I do the marketing for it. I don't go into the homes and do this. I market for the people who do.
Oh, but. Which I think should be able to be done from home, and hopefully they will too soon.
And it is.
Oh, is it now?
No, they do. Oh, yes.
Oh, congratulations.
Oh, yes.
I know that you're not
really
that psyched
like
about it.
Home, but who cares what I think?
Right. No one cares what you think right now. No one cares what any of us think. Let's all stay the fuck home. Right. Okay.
No. Yeah.
Your dorkdom. Let's do it. Well, first of all, razorcake.com has some book reviews that they can read from Jim Wooster. And that's where we're at with that. And I talk about you all the time. So why don't they listen to old episodes of The Dork Forest? And I talk about how great you, the stand-up you used to do when I could twist your arm and get you to do stand-up. Now it's all online. You want to do stand-up online?
I devolved. I don't know that I ever truly believed that this day would happen, but it happened about 3 years ago. I just found myself not getting on stage anymore. So
yeah, it's weird.
I just write now.
You just write. And here's where I'm at with this is I want to talk about your dorkdom, which is Columbo, a TV program.
Columbo, the TV program. Which you told me in an email that you haven't really seen and only know about the many decades worth of cultural references to it.
It's true. I only know the cultural references to it because of how it's used in stand-up comedy. So I've seen the impressions of it. I just haven't actually seen an episode. Or if I have, it's been so long, I don't remember it.
Like me in Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You get the
reference. I know Game of Thrones cultural references. I've never seen an episode.
Okay. I've tried with Game of Thrones. It's been well documented. It didn't take. But talk to me about Columbo. When did it come out? Who's in it?
Okay, Columbo. Yeah, I am curious as to how many people who we will call young know about it. Not that we are young, but so Columbo. I guess I could have looked this up.
No worries.
Columbo, the TV show. Well, here's the Columbo character. Let's go really far back. In the early 60s, the two creators of Columbo. What are their names? Dick Levinson and William Link wrote a mystery play, a whodunit play, or not a whodunit play, how is the guy going to get caught play called Enough Rope. And this was back in the days when people still went to see mysteries and detective stories on stages before they realized that TV does it better for free and that stopped. But there was a Broadway play about a doctor, or maybe he might have been a psychologist or both, or a psychiatrist, who plans the perfect murder of his wife. And a lovable Irish cop played by the guy who plays Uncle Billy in It's a Wonderful Life catches him, solves the crime, or arrests him, beats the perfect crime.
Right.
And it was about the murderer, but the audience really loved it. What's that?
Okay. No, I'm just agreeing over here. What?
Did you say him?
Billy?
Okay.
I said Uncle Billy.
It was about the murderer, but the audience loved the cop.
Okay.
And so they made a TV movie out of it with Gene Barry and Peter Falk.
Right.
And people loved Peter Falk's character. And fun fact, when they were casting the movie, they first tried to get Bing Crosby to play Columbo, but he was fully retired and didn't want to come back to Hollywood and do it.
Oh, that's fascinating. That is very interesting.
They cast Peter Falk. Yeah. He would have made a fine Columbo, actually. Smoke, because he's a pipe. Bing Crosby had this pipe that he always smoked, and a lot of his characters smoke, and he would have just wandered into the various crime scenes smoking his pipe, not looking terribly bright.
Right. Just fiddling with his pipe as he talked to people. Crimes. Yes.
Exactly. So they made that TV movie. It was a hit. The network or studio, one or the other, wanted another movie. So they made another one. This time the criminal was Lee Grant, best known to us as the prosecutor in Defending Your Life.
Oh.
And that was a hit. So they started making mystery movies that came out about once a month per season. And it was a huge, massive hit around the world. At one point, the State Department asked Peter Falk to assure the country of Romania that there would be more Columbos coming.
What? I'm sorry there's a 3-second delay on this program. Because that's bananas.
Not at all. Yeah, that's how popular it was.
Wow.
People could not get enough of Columbo. And I was too young to I don't know that I watched it or maybe I watched it and didn't really get it as a kid. But at some point in my 20s, I started watching all of them.
Right, because they went into reruns.
And they're on one of the major Yeah, and I think I saw them on one of the main streaming services. I don't remember which one.
It looks like IMDb says that you could watch it for free on IMDb TV. Did you know there was an IMDb TV?
I knew IMDb had various videos. I didn't know they had their own network.
But the TV show started in 1921, according to IMDb. 1971.
Yes, and before that, there were two TV movies. One was called Prescription Murder, and the other was called Ransom.
And they both had Peter Falk in them as well.
And they both had Peter Falk in them.
All right. So the TV show went, it looks like, from 71 to 2003. Have you seen all of them?
No.
Okay.
There was a considerable gap. At some point in the late 70s, Falk stopped doing it. Part of it is, I think his fee just got too expensive. Part of it is he wanted to make more movies. And he did make some good movies in the 70s.
What other movies
did he make?
Especially
The In-Laws.
Oh, I remember The In-Laws.
Did you see The In-Laws? Have you seen The In-Laws? Alan Arkin and Peter Falk.
I do remember that.
Yeah. And The Brink's Job, which objectively I don't remember if it's good or bad, but I did love it and would love to see it again.
What do we love about Peter Falk? He's a tiny man, is he not?
He is. Yeah, he is. Yeah, I mean, he is every man in his way. He's deceptively handsome.
What does that mean?
I didn't realize how handsome he was. I didn't realize how really handsome he is until I saw a picture of him with the two creators, Levinson and Link, who are what you would call average looking guys. You put him next, like, oh my God, that is one handsome man. But he does not behave like a handsome man necessarily. Assuming that handsome men have behavior. I might be wrong about that. Also, everyone loves... Go ahead.
I just Google imaged Peter Falk throughout the years, and Peter Falk is a very handsome man. You are correct.
Yes.
All right. Go ahead.
But you don't necessarily realize that when you're watching Columbo.
Right, because he's kind of scruffy looking. What about throughout the years, you were going to say? Or did I say that? God knows.
So he stopped doing them, which meant they stopped doing them, and they started making new movies in the late 80s. I remember watching one in 89. I think that was that in my memory. That's the earliest one I watched. And he wanted to play Columbo again. The scripts are very hard to write, apparently, and as time went on, fewer and fewer writers were turned out who could actually write them.
What makes them hard to write?
Bad. Some were actually really good. Yeah, it's hard. That's hard to craft a mystery. And as time went on, younger writers came out of writing schools or wherever they learned to write, came out of their apartments, wherever. Unable and or uninterested in writing, in crafting a good detective story.
Because it's a complicated mystery.
So towards the end, it is. So towards the end, like at one point, there is one where his niece goes missing and he has to find her. And then one they just gave up entirely and called it Columbo Goes Undercover. And they're just like, yeah, we have no idea how to write detective. Just screw it. Let's just do this.
Okay. All right. So what I want you to tell me is a couple of your favorite episodes and favorite guest stars, because they were famous for their guest stars too.
Yes. Well, for those who haven't seen it, my favorite episodes are the ones with killer payoffs at the end. So for like Leonard Nimoy plays a surgeon, and that ending is quite the payoff. Robin Jones, what's that? Yes, Robin Jones would tell you that his favorite is Ross Martin, the art critic, which has a great payoff. Everyone loves, Robert Culp, you know who Robert Culp is?
No.
Look up Robert Culp so you know who I'm talking about. He was one of the regular villains. C-U-L-P. I assume you'll say, guy. But one of the, there's a cat and mouse one where the ending isn't. Yeah, exactly. What does he play? He plays a guy who practices subliminal advertising, even though it's illegal. And he uses subliminal images in his murder plot. And subliminal images are used in the ending, of course. And it's not the greatest ending, but everyone loves watching Columbo and him go back and forth.
Okay, because they had a really good rapport. Is that what it was?
Yeah. And I'm sure if you post this episode when it's ready on the Dork Forest Facebook page, I'm sure everyone will have their own.
A favorite
everyone
episode,
Everyone who watches
yeah.
it will have their own favorite.
Right.
Part of the appeal is everyone loves a good detective story, but you also want a detective who's interesting enough to spend time with. And so when I was a kid and Murder, She Wrote came out, I'm like, I don't... Old mystery writer who's a woman. Why would I want to? I could probably get into it now, though.
Yeah, I've watched a couple of them. The draw of these mystery novels, I could see why. Like right now, I'm watching Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries. It's an Australian lady detective set in the 1920s.
I read about it last week, and last week someone posted how great it is, and now that was a coincidence, and now you're bringing her up.
Right, the first two seasons are free on Amazon. I do enjoy the puzzle part. It's not, well, the first two seasons on Amazon Prime are free, but the puzzle parts are not super tricky, but they do the nice thing where you have to watch it closely to see it, because you can figure it out.
If you watch closely.
Yes, as opposed to the pilot episode of Moonlighting, I knew immediately that he was a Nazi.
Did I watch that? I don't know that I watched that.
It was. It actually holds. Moonlighting holds up really good. Only. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead. I was just going to ask about Jazz Age Australia.
Okay.
Where is it? Melbourne or Sydney?
It's in Melbourne.
And their Jazz Age was everyone's Jazz Age.
Their Jazz Age was everyone's Jazz Age. We've watched three episodes so far, and the last episode was about jazz. Weird, with a black actress who had a terrible Southern accent. Or at least hit and miss.
Yeah, Brits and Aussies usually can nail English accents. When they fail, oh, doggy.
Right. I mean, it's better than a British.
Can you look up Cray Brothers movie? There were two of them.
C-R-A-Y.
One was with Tom Hardy and one was with K-R-A-Y.
Okay. This is an old school.
There was a
Dork
recent
Forest
one with Tom Hardy.
Okay.
Where you were.
Where the satellite delay between the talking. Oh, is it called Legend?
What year is it?
2015?
No, there's one before that. Whatever that one's called, it contains the most amazingly bad, I think they're trying to do a New York accent maybe. It is truly stunning. It was like if you showed a computer a picture of an American and tried to and had the computer deduce what that person would sound like.
That's hilarious.
Let me see if I can find it.
What do you
Meanwhile,
have you ever
you can talk.
Okay. Meanwhile, I'm going to talk and I'm going to ask you about this one.
Yeah.
An episode from 1977, the Bye Bye Sky High IQ murder case. Two former college friends,
yes,
now partners in an accounting firm, become enemies. People were really, really overt enemies in the 70s.
Well, they became enemies because one of them knew that the other one was embezzling funds.
Okay, well, that
and
doesn't
what,
feel like...
What makes that... so they're not enemies. One is... Yeah. He's like, I mean, I suppose the embezzler thought, you know that I'm embezzling. Now you're my enemy. So I guess in that way.
It feels very cartoonish sometimes, the arching. It's like, this is my arch enemy. It'd be like me saying Mike Birbiglia was my arch enemy.
Or nemesis. There's someone on Twitter who collects nemeses and brags about... Oh, Roxane Gay.
Okay.
She collects nemeses and brags about it.
There's an episode in season one.
But the Bye Bye Sky High IQ murder case.
Yeah.
That one could be called Murder at a Mensa Meeting, because that's really what it's about.
Oh, I love it when
Columbo
they...
Columbo going...
I love it when they go to a Mensa meeting.
Yeah, Columbo matches wits with a Mensa genius. who thinks he's planned the perfect crime.
Can I tell you probably for the 13th time what Nancy Kashian said about Mensa?
Yes, please. I've forgotten it.
When I was about 13 or 14, I wanted to join Mensa because I thought I was super smart. And she literally was washing dishes or cooking or something. And she looks up and she goes, "It's just an excuse for wife swapping. Don't even get involved." I think she knew from...
Looking back, do you think she...
I don't know.
Do you think she knew what it was?
Oh, I know she knew what it actually was.
When I was a waiter, at Spaghetti Works in Sioux Falls in 1987.
Braggart.
Did you ever do the Spaghetti Works in Des Moines?
Yes. I did stand up there, yes.
Yes, yes. That's what I meant. I didn't mean like, did you pull a heist? I meant, yes. Did you do stand up? Yes. So... I was a waiter at the one in Sioux Falls.
Okay.
And I had a, and once I said, okay, go, you're taking care of that room today. So, okay. And I walk in and there's a guy standing just outside the room staring at the bricks. He's part of the room. And I go in and there's a 16-year-old kid talking to a woman in her 60s about Central America. And there's a guy talking with another person. And the first guy is correcting everything the other person is saying. There's nothing this other person is saying that this guy can't find fault with.
Wow.
And I couldn't figure, what the hell is this? And then I go back into the kitchen and the manager said, yeah, that's a meeting of the local Mensa club.
Wow. How boring. So boring.
I wanted to take go the back 16-year-old aside and say, you don't want to.
Yes.
Yeah, go back to Colombo.
There was an episode where a wealthy man is murdered and his twin nephews stand to inherit. Which one committed the crime?
Yeah, that one's okay, but it's about twins. Come on, enough with the fucking twins.
Okay, how about this one? An art critic, Dale Kingston, kills his uncle for his valuable collection of paintings. All the clues lead to the dead man's first wife. Can Columbo correct the lieutenant's error before it's too late?
He does, and very, very ingeniously.
Oh, that episode's a good one. Suitable for framing, season one.
Yeah. It's a good, actually, it's a good introduction, too, if you've never seen it.
Okay, suitable for framing, aired
Columbo
November.
Columbo plays a long game with this guy.
Oh, that's awesome. It looks like some of them were written by one person, and then other ones had like a team. I would think with mysteries, you'd need a team.
Well, the two guys, Levinson and Link, who created it, were mystery experts. So they rewrote everything that came into them. They gave credit pretty generously, but ultimately they rewrote everything the way they wanted it.
Okay. How about this one? Season three, wine producer Adrian Carcini discovers that his younger brother Enrico plans to sell the family vineyards to pay his playboy life debts and sets out to murder him. Wow. Doesn't that give it away? Any old port in a storm, season three? That gives it away.
Well, no, it doesn't. It does not.
Oh,
give
he
it.
Said.
Okay, we clearly have not. We have not covered the Columbo format. Then, clearly.
Okay. Okay.
What is the Columbo format? Is, well, let's use the wine merchant one, played by the great Donald Pleasance, who is an amazing actor and is an amazing actor in this one. So we see him. He's visited by his brother. We immediately know that Donald Pleasance is going to kill his brother. We don't know why yet or how. But once that's established, okay. So the first 20 minutes is the murder. The first 20 minutes is setting up the motive for the murder and then the murder. And we don't see Columbo. Which I remember reading or somewhere hearing that first made the studio or network nervous. It's like, what, 20 minutes? No, that's too long. I said, no, it's not too long. And it wasn't. So the first 20 minutes is setting up the murder and committing the murder. And then Columbo shows up. And he's scruffy and in the trench coat. And now he's, in this case, in wine country.
Huh. Okay, so the first 20 minutes of every episode, we just essentially meet who might be the bad guys.
No, we meet the bad guy and we know who it is. And we see the bad guy or occasionally woman commit the murder.
Oh my gosh. Oh, so there is no...
thinking they have gotten away with it because it's so perfect.
Oh.
There's no doubt who the murderer is ever. Well, there's one bad episode where there's sort of a crap twist that no one really likes. But generally, no. The point of every Columbo is, how is Columbo going to A, solve the crime, and or B, trap the guy into giving himself away?
That's the draw of it. Okay.
Yes.
That's
the draw.
Okay. So we know that the wine guy has killed his younger brother. Mm-hmm. In case of the art critic.
Right. And so the wine guy, Columbo figures it out fairly early, sets up something of a con in order to get the guy to give himself away.
Aha.
Sometimes Columbo finds the evidence that can put him away. Sometimes Columbo has to set up a con to help him prove it.
I love that thing with Columbo where he leaves, he goes, oh, one more thing, and then he turns back. He does that almost every episode, right?
Yes. Yes. And that's one of the things we all love. Can't get enough of it.
Well, then, good for you. Do you like... Yeah, go ahead.
It still holds up. Our mutual friend Catherine Michon on Facebook recently did a just one more thing joke.
Which is why I know most of my Columbo references.
I laughed out loud.
Oh, there you go. Did you LOL her on Facebook?
I LOL'd with the yellow emoji with the the big open mouth laugh. Yeah, the whole thing. Yeah.
Have you seen a candidate for crime, a Senate candidate running for office kills his campaign manager?
Yeah, that's a great one.
Oh, yeah? That's another really good one?
Yeah.
How about a police commissioner provides an alibi for a friend who just killed his wife?
Great ending.
Oh, friend indeed? Yeah? The police...
He sets up a great con for him.
Oh, that's awesome. And all of these actors look vaguely familiar.
Exactly. I know him. It's that one guy.
It's that one guy. It's that one lady. How about this one? A lady lawyer kills her husband for the insurance money and tries to make it look like kidnapping.
Yeah, that was one of the movies.
Oh.
One of the two movies.
Oh, interesting. Because it says season one, episode two. They must have used the same plot again.
It's confusing what constitutes the pilot.
Okay.
Is it the first movie? Is it the second movie? Or is it the first episode of the mystery movie series?
Okay.
Do you remember McCloud? Remember that series?
Yeah, I never saw that one either.
I don't know that I did either. But I know it's about a cop from the West on a horse in New Manhattan.
Oh, okay.
That was one of the mystery movies that would alternate with Columbo.
Okay.
One week there'd be a Columbo, the next week there'd be a McCloud.
Oh.
There may have been a time when I knew what the others were, but I think one was about an insurance investigator investigating high-end insurance crimes.
I like it when I'm trying to think what the ones where you know who did it, because the new thing that's happening, like NCIS, and when I say new, I'm talking 20 years. The new thing is NCIS and Bones, where we don't know who did it, and then they have to figure it out. Does Law and Order tell you who did it in the beginning too? Question mark. Oh, I just did a voice to text thing.
I watched very little Law and Order because it bores the hell out of me, but I doubt it because I think, cops have to come in and start investigating right away, right?
Yeah, I've never seen Law and Order either. I know there's seven of them and every one of them has 100 episodes. Some people just watch them on repeat all the time because it's soothing.
It's soothing and I think the trend that I noticed, and I don't know if it's a trend, I watched a few episodes of Castle. Can you solve them? They're not really set up to be solved. It's more like, let's just
watching them at work.
Watch the detective. Right. But
it was,
they don't worry about setting up clues for the audience, right?
Right. To my knowledge, they don't. What about, have you ever seen Sherlock, the Cumberbatch Sherlock?
Oh, yeah. great stuff.
That is kind of great stuff. There's only three episodes. Solvable? Yeah, I don't think they are.
What?
I think that, I mean, what we're watching is his process.
Yeah, which I'm fine with. I don't mind. I mean, I love
they made
most
it interesting.
Of those episodes, so be it.
Yeah, I think it got a little into its up its own butt for at the end of it, but not even enough to make me not watch it.
Yeah, I remember not liking the series finale, but that's fine.
Did you ever read Encyclopedia Brown?
Oh yeah, faithfully. Never solved a one.
I think me
they were
neither.
Too complicated for kids to solve.
Right? Yeah.
They,
well,
like,
I mean, it would always
there was one like he proved that whatever. He proved that someone's, like, a bully's alibi was fake because he gave the bully's victim 41 cents, and the bully claimed that, well, the victim just gave me change. I asked the victim, can he break a dollar bill, and Encyclopedia Brown ensured that he couldn't have broken the dollar bill because of the kind
of the
coins
denomination
that he had.
Of the coins, like, yes.
Who the hell is
going to
hold that at age
8? Right. I remember there was something about a brown hat.
I didn't read all the ones that came out. Yeah.
Yeah, I read them all, and I felt vaguely dumb for never getting the answer to them. But I always thought it would make a really good kind of telephone mystery game, like a cell phone mystery game.
How would the game work?
What about this one? Death lends a hand. A private investigator kills his client's wife after she threatens to expose his blackmail scheme. Did you see that one?
Yes. And then that's Robert Culp, and you get to watch him and Columbo do their thing.
Oh, okay. It's another one of the. Was he on several times?
They had the best dances. Yeah, the best cat and mouse dances were Columbo and Culp's various characters.
Season 4. A brilliant photographer, Paul Galesko, plans to murder his domineering wife, Frances, and pin the crime on an ex-convict. His plan is to make it look as if Alvin kidnapped his wife. A lot of kidnapping, and killed her.
And look who played the photographer.
Who played the photographer?
Oh, it doesn't say?
No.
Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, shit, snap! As no one says anymore.
Right? Right. Dick Van Dyke, a killer.
The world's gone mad.
Not just a killer, a premeditated killer.
Right. That feels accurate, though.
And with a full beard, too.
Oh, is that what that... Oh, okay.
A full
that
beard
is Dick
killer.
Van Dyke. He looks like George Lucas.
I can't picture what George Lucas looks like, but if George Lucas has a full white beard...
Fair enough. I don't know. There was one from 1989 that was supposed to be good. A film director resorts to his mastery of special effects to murder a vengeful friend. It's like Mysterio in Spider-Man.
What does Mysterio do?
In Spider-Man Far From Home, the new Spider-Man movie, which is excellent, Jake Gyllenhaal plays Mysterio, who was a special effects guy in Hollywood, and he's decided to become a superhero the cheap way.
Does he end up being a villain or... just a lame superhero.
He's ends up being very much a super villain, which would be a spoiler if it wasn't also a book and hadn't come out a year ago.
And if I wasn't the only person who had not seen it.
Yeah. Did you see the first Spider-Man with Michael Keaton playing the Vulture?
My shame is that I have not seen any of the Spider-Man movies.
Let me tell you that Michael Keaton makes the Vulture into a supervillain that makes sense and is smart, because in the comic books, the Vulture is a dum-dum.
In the comic books, the Vulture is dumb.
Yes.
And Keaton makes him smart?
Keaton makes him smart. Keaton makes him interesting. Keaton gives him a reason for him to have gone wrong, and a worthy advocate for a future, and they didn't kill him, which is another problem with supervillains in some of the previous movies. They would just kill them. The DC universe tends to kill the bad guys, and it's a waste of a bad guy, because then they have to bring him back.
What's wrong with that? Oh, well then, yeah. But that's the problem. It's not killing them is not the problem. It's not leaving them dead. Leave them dead.
Did you see Black Panther?
No, I didn't see that either. I keep not seeing superhero movies.
Because I'll tell you, they nailed that one with Killmonger. and M'Baku, the two guys that are supposedly a bad guy and an actual bad guy, but Michael B. Jordan played Killmonger, and he was outstanding. And I have a theory that when they put his body at sea, Namor raises him from the dead, and that's when he comes back.
I'm going to go with that theory, even though I don't know the words that you're saying.
You should also know that Black Panther is actually sociopolitically one of the best movies in the series. That, and I think, and the first Avenger. Oh, and Civil War.
I somehow missed. I was going to see Winter Soldier because they say it's like a good 70s spy movie, and I forgot.
Oh,
but now that I'm in quarantine, I think I'm going to make time.
Do you have Disney Plus? No. Need better internet, my friend.
Yeah, but I'll rent it on Amazon.
Mm-hmm. That's still a thing.
That's
sure
a
it
thing,
is.
Right?
But you need good internet.
Well, my internet's good enough. Like I will. Let's see. What was Man Seeking Woman season 3? I'm the only person I know who's seen it, which I love. I bought that on Amazon and watched it, and it was fine here in my apartment.
Say that again.
I can watch Amazon TV shows that are on Amazon. I can watch in my apartment, and it's fine.
Okay.
Regardless of however, yeah. No, my internet is probably less than perfect.
Isn't everybody's? Anyway, what about this one? Now You See Him, Master Magician, the Great Santini, is amazing audiences at the Cabaret of Magic. What they don't know is that Santini hopes to pull off the grandest illusion of his career, making Clum Order Jesse T. Jerome disappear. The crude Jerome is the one person who knows that Santini was a Nazi death camp guard. Oh my God.
Well, he was a Hitler youth. I mean, I think he was, yes, that's what made him less repellent. I mean, I think he was like 17. He was supposed to be a 17-year-old Nazi. Well, what they're leaving, these summaries are not great. Which I won't harp on. But for example, what that episode is about is the magician kills his victim in the middle of a 9-minute magic trick. That's what makes that episode that episode.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's a... It's one of those lowering into a tank of water tricks.
I see. And then we have to watch Columbo figure it out.
And while he is in the tank of water, he also manages to kill his victim and then make it back in time for the
kill
end
the
of
club
the,
owner.
Trick.
It's like if I were on stage and all of a sudden I got off stage and the club owner who owned the Tulsa Comedy Club had passed away. How did it happen?
Right. How did she pull it off? She was on stage in view of 300 people.
It couldn't have been her.
It couldn't have been her.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about this one? Identity crisis. A spy is killed on a lonely beach by his contact, but the killer has been photographed beforehand walking with the victim. That is a terrible summation. Identity crisis.
It is. They were also not terribly bright spies because they let them, they decided they would meet at an amusement park and Columbo kept finding people who remembered them. Like they were trying to be anonymous, and yet at one point they stopped at one of those rifle games where you have to shoot down ducks. And one of them was a marksman who got all of them. And
which was unprecedented. That is not subtle, my friend.
So Columbo, have you ever seen this guy? Yeah, I saw him. He was a marksman.
Worst spies ever. An architect kills his business partner and deliberately lets Columbo suspect him, leading Columbo to think that he's hidden the body in the foundation of a building under construction. He plans to let Columbo dig up the site and find nothing, knowing that it's a perfect place to hide the body, since Columbo would never look at the same place twice. Blueprint.
That sort of gives away the episode.
That's terrible then. Assholes. Yeah. How about what about this one? Oh, this one's from 1993. So, will it be good?
Well, the previous episode, the one about the architect, Falk wanted to direct, and so he went on strike, but he couldn't come out and say, I'm going on strike because I want to direct. He pretended to be sick for an episode. And so there's an episode where a guy who looks like him from behind is shot more than you would normally shoot someone like that in a scene like that. And then eventually they said, all right, well, we have to start shooting Columbo from the front. Let's give in.
And that was Blueprint for Murder, the architect episode?
Yeah.
Okay. What about this one? Nick Franco is a violent two-timing gigolo, and his current paramour, Laura Stanton, has had enough. With the help of a young woman named Lisa, she murders her lover and sets herself up with an airtight alibi. Okay, that's 1993.
Nope, that
it feels late. And then
it is late.
How about, oh, here's one. A doctor kills the husband of the woman he's having an affair with, but is seen leaving the house by a witness who happens to be blind? That sounds like you're giving something away.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, it's not. No, you see him early on. You see the doctor leaving and the guy who seems to be blind is what he's like. I think he said, who's there?
Oh, like
who's
the blind there? Are always doing on television in the 70s.
He says to a car.
The 70s. So sensitive.
Yeah.
How about this one? A filmmaker kills one of his clients on a break during the screening of a new ad campaign. Oh, that's Robert Culp again.
That's a subliminal one.
Double Exposure, 1973. Yeah. How about this one? Oh, 1994. Yeah. You probably haven't seen it. Egomaniac Fielding Chase, a radio talk show host who, in order to prevent his daughter from moving to New York, murders a member of his staff.
No, I did see that. And does it say who the...
No.
Does it say who plays the radio host? It was William Shatner.
Wow. I'm so glad he had work. How about this one? A country and western singer kills his overpowering wife in a plane crash while he parachutes to safety. Plays
Johnny
that?
Cash.
Well, first of all, this is the plot of The Girl Most Likely To with Stockard Channing. Second of all,
what year was
72
that?
Or 73, she was in high school and had, she gets in a disfiguring accident, has plastic surgery, and turns into the beauty that is Stockard Channing and goes back and kills everybody who was mean to her in high school. Yeah, the girl most likely to. And
is it drive-in fair?
Say it again?
Would you have seen it at a drive-in in
yes.
the early 70s?
I didn't. I saw it on television. But what I have noticed is that when a lot of guys are killing their wives because they're bitches, man.
Well, that's usually, that's most murders are so far, I think.
Oh my God. Too funny. Jim Wooster, by the way, is who I'm talking to. And we're talking about Columbo with a bit of a lag on the internet. But if you go to razorcake.com, you could watch him. You can read some of the reviews of books that he's done. What else? Wait, is that the last one? No, wait a minute. 74, Swan Song? That was the last one.
That was, Well, it's the last one on that summary.
It's the spot.
Janet Lee. Or is it Lee or Janet Lee or Janet Leigh? That's who.
How about this
that
one?
Killer is.
A famous psychiatrist uses an appointment with his doctor as an alibi while he calls his house where his dead wife's lover is. The call serves as the first step in a conditioning reflex of the psychiatrist's dogs. The other part is the word rosebud, as uttered by the victim. When Columbo arrives on the scene, the psychiatrist is very understanding when police say they may have to put his dogs to death. But Columbo notices how friendly the dogs seem. And then there's a telephone that's hanging from a hook. Who wrote these?
And then there are dogs, and then there's a phone, and it's hanging from the hook, and Columbo's like, uh-oh. So.
Well, we're giving it a shot. Oh, wait a minute. This is 19. Okay. This must be one of the movies because it's season one, episode one, aired February 20th, 1968. Columbo's first mystery pits him against a cheating doctor out to get rid of his wife in favor of his young, pretty actress girlfriend.
Yeah, that was the one based on the play.
All right.
And some people might call it the pilot. I will say this about
Miss Fisher's murder mysteries. They feel like plays. They feel like stage productions. And the costumes are fabulous. The characters are adorable. And the sort of the setting of the time, 1920 Melbourne, is fascinating as far as just sort of, because it wasn't prohibition, but it was, you know, in, it was in the United States, but I don't think it was in Australia. I meant to look that up. Did they have prohibition in Australia in 1920?
What do you think is the, that show is growing immensely popular. Why do you think that
is? Miss Fisher? I don't know, but she is essentially, she plays like a woman in her early 30s who keeps hooking up with guys in their early 20s. And she shot it when she was in her early 40s, and she's now 50.
Oh, so it's so that was in Australia 10 years ago? Okay. And now people are just discovering it here.
Yeah, kind of amazing.
Good.
It feels like a stage play oftentimes, which I in kind of a good way. I've enjoyed it every time, and we've only watched three episodes of the first season, so I really enjoyed it. Oh, by the way, I got these best episodes of Columbo off of something called EpisodeNinja.com, and it proposes that they will give you a list of the best episodes of any TV show and possibly spoil them for you. That is...
Before I did this podcast, I thought, well, the Dork Forest has been, I mean, what is it? This is like the, 900
there's 200 that are buried behind a Blog Talk call-in problem. So essentially there's 850. Yeah. Yeah. Almost 900.
Right. Right. So I looked up Dork Forest Columbo to ensure that this has not been done
before. Here's the thing about...
There is a podcast that I did not listen to, and I don't know that I will, but maybe I will, that's devoted to Columbo.
Is it called Columbo?
And you can
guess
what it's called. No. Guess again. You'll get it. I wouldn't. If that's what it were called, I wouldn't have brought attention to it.
Called One More Thing?
And now we're,
Just One More Thing.
Just One More Thing, yeah. Okay. That's what it's called. Yeah. Or I don't know if it exists. I don't know if it's current or if it's now defunct, but it has existed.
Okay.
And maybe still.
What
does.
About this one? The family and friends of brilliant naval architect Commodore Otis Swanson have gathered for the company's annual party. The Commodore has become increasingly discontented with the way his son-in-law has developed the shipbuilding firm into a vast impersonal corporation. Have you seen that one?
It is somehow one of the worst episodes of television ever made, which is weird given, and I didn't trust my memory on that. I bought the DVD of that season. I'm like, is this really as bad as I think and remember? And I looked it up, and someone on The Guardian wrote a long essay about
it.
It is
the third worst episode of Columbo, according to this website. The other two are from the 90s. Oh, wait.
I was going to say, the other two would have to be from the 90s.
That was from 76. There's another one that's terrible from 76 called A Matter of Honor. The owner of a bull ranch in Mexico gives his workers the day off and then talks his number one man into fighting the bull who nearly killed his son, but instead he shoots him with a tranquilizer gun and lets the bull kill him.
Yeah.
Columbo, who's on vacation in Mexico, gets dragged into the case by an admiring colleague, but he has trouble convincing the Mexicans that the accident is really homicide. How do you prove that the bull is a murder weapon?
Yeah.
How do you do it?
Well, yeah, that's not that bad. It's not bad.
It's less bad than the one. I like that he's listed who's written these two. I wanted it to be the same person who wrote the Commodore one, but it isn't. It's a totally different dude who has written that one. What about this one? An Irish poet who confronts a peace organization while secretly running guns kills an arms dealer who tries to swindle him.
What's good about that one is it's like it may be the only Columbo and one of the few shows on television from that era that's rooted in the real world. It really stands out in the sense
it addresses
that,
the IRA.
Oh, wow, these people are actually concerned with issues that are actually happening in 1970,
I believe it was 78. Yeah, that'll do it. How about this one? Yeah. Vivica Scott, the founder of Beauty Mark Cosmetics, is being threatened by her rival. When he finds out that her revolutionary cream formula actually removes wrinkles, he has the formula pirated. Who dies in Lovely But Lethal, 1973? Have you seen that? Martin Sheen.
Martin Sheen dies.
This is it's a who's who of who. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
While on a work trip to London to learn the techniques of the British police, Columbo gets involved with the murder of Roger Haversham, a rich old businessman who's financing the careers of two rundown theater stars. Well, that seems impersonal. When Sir Roger threatens to end their careers because he felt betrayed, he's killed. A short while after, his butler figures out the motives for his master's murder, blackmails the actors who have no other choice than to kill him and make it look like he committed suicide because he murdered his employer. Columbo still manages to catch both the murderers with the help of a pearl and a new umbrella. Yeah, that gives it away. But
he gives yes, but so feel free to just blow it off.
How about this one? A fading actress kills her husband when he refuses to back her comeback show. Oh,
that's the Janet Leigh ones.
The mistress of a conductor becomes the target for murder after threatening to tell all of her love to tell all to her lover's wife.
Yeah, that's a particular. Yeah. You know who John Cassavetes is?
I wonder why. I wonder why I know who that is. That's hilarious. Dr. Marshall Cahill, head of a think tank, is forced to protect his plagiarizing son by killing the professor who discovered the plagiarized information. He programs a robot to take his place during a war game exercise. Then he runs from an isolated room and then fakes a hit-and-run accident on Nichols and plants evidence to make it look like a drug theft gone awry. Wow, this is complicated. Holy smokes.
And it's sort of... Oh, fair enough. It ends with a cheat, kind of.
Yeah, this is the female head of a museum hires one of the guards to rob the museum to collect the insurance money. But during the robbery, she kills him and her own brother, making it look like they killed each other. Wow, I have four brothers. I don't want to kill any of them. What's happening?
I don't really remember that. I know who the killer is.
The guard
robber's
brother reports a strange message on his answering machine that makes it seem like he had been killed. And Columbo gets on the case. When Columbo first comes to the crime scene, he notices the lights are off, a gold medallion in the robber's pants, and signs that pointed to the fact that he's going abroad after the heist. And he concluded that these clues mean someone else was involved. Wow. How about a health club owner kills his partner who's about to uncover a fraud and makes it look like an accident? Killed by a treadmill? Oh,
Robert
wow.
Robert Conrad is the killer.
Are you pulling these out of thin air?
I'm from memory. I remember.
All right.
Like the museum, gray matter put to
a chess grandmaster disposes of the champion who keeps coming back at him. Coming back at him? What? Did you see the chess one? It's supposed to be bad.
Yeah. Okay.
That's from the 90s. Here's a 72. The manager of a football team kills the team's owner, describing himself as an ice cream vendor as a cover.
Yeah, a particularly good one. Yeah, another Robert Culp.
Oh, another Robert Culp. That's the third one. A woman shoots her overbearing brother, claiming she thought he was a burglar. Some people don't like their siblings, man.
Yeah, if it's not a spouse, it's a sibling.
You know who wrote this one? Stephen Bochco. Didn't he do NYPD Blue?
Yeah.
All right. And what about Mark McAndrews, a top network programmer, is promoted to a New York position. His assistant, who is very ambitious and his lover, expects to get his old job. But of course, he feels she's out of her league and needs more experience. Kay, feeling betrayed, decides to seek revenge. Do you think that's a dick joke? Needs more experience? The head of a military school kills one of the governors by sabotaging the gun in which is used on Founders Day. I think governors and military school, that means something else.
No, it's a military school. I don't know what the governor's is.
By dawn's
holiday?
Early light?
Yeah. What does it say the thing
the
about
the head of a military
again?
School kills one of the governors by sabotaging the gun which is used on Founders Day.
Oh, yeah. There are, like, a governor is a board member. Yeah, the overseeing
what
board.
What about this one?
Of
a
this
famous
place.
General kills a business associate, then woos a neurotic female witness to thwart Columbo's investigation.
That's the one where they shot another person from behind as often as they could. And then
oh, and so he directed it?
Okay, fine. No, oh, okay. That's the one he went on strike for. He went
a
on
fading
strike
movie
on that
star
one.
Tries to murder a writer who's attempting to blackmail her, but accidentally kills her PA.
Movie stars kill a lot in the 70s. At least two movie stars killed on Columbo.
What about Playback? An inventor videotapes his mother-in-law's death and then replays it back to the security guard to give himself an alibi.
Yeah, and Columbo damn busts straight. The hell out of that alleyway.
Well, let me tell you this, Jim Wooster. It has been an hour where we have discussed Columbo.
Not necessarily a pleasure. The time has been an hour.
I've been entertained. You've been entertained. Let's see if the Rangers are entertained when I release this. People, we've been talking to Jim Wooster. Thank you so much for doing the show. And Rangers,
thank you for having me. It hasn't been an hour.
Rangers,
for
you
me
know
too.
The rules out there. Even now, more than ever. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Thank you. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?